I'm going to have you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And we'll go ahead and stand in honor of God's word. Ecclesiastes 10, if you're able to. And this is really maybe just a springboard of maybe what to anticipate for this morning, tonight, tomorrow. And really, I think just as a help in general, that I really hope that this will be a help and a blessing. So Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. And I want you to give attention to verse number 1. We're going to read three verses here. The Bible says, dead flies, boy, that's a good way to start, right? Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool. And so I've entitled the lesson here this morning, A Fly Will Spoil Everything. A Fly Will Spoil Everything. Father, we ask for your help now. Thank you so much for these dear saints, and what a blessing already. You just know when you walk into a church and there's a spirit of hospitality, and that is definitely evident here. And I thank you so much for this body that is here. Pray that you'd bless this church, bless this time together. May we be challenged and encouraged. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. If you notice in our text here, it speaks about him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor, somebody that desires for a reputation. And though we might not say, I desire to have a good reputation or a good testimony, if you're breathing God's air, you have a testimony. And that's just a reality. You think about, if I was to say, you know, certain names that would stand out, immediately something would come to your mind regarding these individuals. If I said Bernie Madoff, something stands out, especially those that are in the investing field, you know, and you invest, and those that are engaged with investing, where at one time he was one of those top investors, and then you think about Bernie Madoff, you just think of it as an extortioner, a scoundrel, somebody that stole a bunch of money, and that is his reputation. Forget all the things that he went to school for and all the history. That's just a reality. Even when it comes down to the sports world, I try to follow, you know, sports and whatnot, but if I said Barry Bonds, or if I said Sammy Sosa, or Mark McGwire, I mean, I'm talking about maybe aging myself down to that certain time frame, where we're talking about home runs and all the different things that were going on, and yet, just with accusations and, you know, are you taking some special enhancing drugs for you to be able to accomplish these things, regardless of what they've already accomplished, because of the accusations, and sometimes even some of the things that came about because of the accusations, you're like, sort of puts a downer on all the accomplishments that were done. You take it to the political realm. There is not a realm. The church world, there is not a realm that this doesn't impact us. And like I said, if you're breathing God's air, this is something that impacts you and me by way of a testimony or a reputation. And so when you take a look at Solomon in our account here, we're just going to dive right into it because there's so much to cover. Just for the sake of time, we're going to just jump right into the passage here. When you think about Solomon, he's labeled as the preacher. And some get the idea that this preacher here is the one that's just going to speak forth the word and somebody that's going to stand behind a pulpit and deliver the word. But actually, preacher means this, a gatherer, one that gathers together. And it's as if when you get to the book of Ecclesiastes, here God is saying, I have a man here that has gathered much of life experiences. And by the way of taking a look at what he's been able to accomplish and what he's been able to do and some of the good qualities and the good testimonies and the good history that he has, also some of the negative things that transpired in his life. And here is Solomon writing about all the things. He's gathering all this information. And if you'll notice the book of Ecclesiastes, if you're a student of your Bible, you know it means this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's like the theme throughout the book. And the first half, he deals a lot with his personal experience. And then the second half deals with a lot of the practical principles of dealing with the importance of what true life and true living looks like. And so here is Solomon dealing with us here in chat number 10, as he's gathered this information, you want to talk about a person that had a testimony. I could tell you regarding Solomon, 1 Kings 3, verse number 3, and Solomon loved the Lord and walking in all his statutes as his father David. That's a good quality. Something that's well said about Solomon. Then you could take a look at the other end of the spectrum and find in 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse number 1 and verse number 3, but King Solomon loved many women. And you're like, whoa, here's one reputation that he has. And then you find a totally different reputation. And so here is Solomon being able to gather all of life experiences. And when it comes down to one man that we could highlight, here is one man that really gives us an opportunity to see what life is all about. And the qualities of life and what it means to live life and understanding the life that we have one life to live and being able to live that life well. And here is Solomon maybe being a reminder to us and saying, listen, I've been on one end of the spectrum and you can walk into the temple of God and God showing up and God making his presence known. And I can say, this is what living is all about. And on the other end of the spectrum, being able to live for self and self-satisfaction and find that it only brings disappointment and hurt. And actually where he says this, I hate life. Man, same man saying, I love life. And on the other end saying, I hate life. And everybody else in the audience being able to say, what kind of reputation did this man have? And here is Solomon reminding us of the great importance of making sure that we have a right reputation. He even said this and alluded to this in a previous chapter in chapter number 7 where he says this, a good name is better than precious ointment and the day of death than the day of one's birth. You say the day of death than one's birth. What do you mean by that? Well, when somebody, you know, maybe a new parent and they have that junior, your little junior there and he's just a couple days old, I mean that child hasn't been able to have a huge reputation. It's a boy, great. And we celebrate and we give, you know, all the, you know, the beginning stages of for mom and dad, the you know, pack and play and all those things that we try to help mom and dad with. But that child hasn't been able to gain much of a reputation. But then you take a look at one's death, the day of one's death, somebody that has lived life and that funeral service that comes around and what is said at that funeral service, boy, you want to talk about a reputation. They've been able to live their life for that reputation. And here in our text here, he's reminding us that there are those that are looking for a reputation for wisdom and honor. Now, regardless of what spectrum we're speaking about, those that want to love life and under the authority of God or living for self, regardless of where you're coming from, every individual wants to have a reputation for wisdom and honor. And he's going to describe a little bit about the significance of having a right perspective of a right reputation. So as we get into our text here, notice this in verse number 1, dead flies, notice this, cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. So here's this ointment of the apothecary. You say, well, what in the world is he speaking about this ointment, the oils that would be available for the person that would, the apothecary, the one who would be responsible, this perfumer that would sell or be able to produce the oils and making sure that it's able to be a help to those that would purchase it from him. You say, well, what about this apothecary? Well, he says the ointment, by the way, is very expensive. And it goes through a very serious process of making sure that the quality is there. Some might be thinking, oh, yeah, I don't know if ointment is really that important. Listen, I think every church has somebody that sells essential oils in their church. Come on now. Or you use essential oils to some degree. I mean, if you have a cold, you get pomegranate oil or something. I don't know. I mean, oil is expensive. If you say, well, I don't do that kind of stuff, but there's Glade, Febreze, there's Potpourri, perfume, cologne. There's a bunch of things that are available to us today. And by the way, when you take a look at the market's way up there. The stocks are doing fine when it comes down to those, when it comes down to the perfume or those ointments or oils that are available, it's there. And I'm just highlighting that the importance of having oils, and the value of oil is very, very much expensive because of the work that it takes to go through this crazy, crazy process to produce just a little bit of oil that is there. It takes so much work and takes so much effort and takes so much protection to protect that valuable resource that is there. And so you can see the comparison. Solomon's so good about this. He's able to take a look at something that we would probably overlook, like ants, you know, and being able to say, okay, there's a lesson to get from ants. Some of us would just say, the only thing good for ants is a magnifying glass and burning ants. You know, that's the only thing. But Solomon, he's just able to take a step back and say, there is a spiritual truth to get from this, from God's creation right here before us. And maybe he was walking through this area of the marketplace, and he saw the individual that would sell the oils that would be there, and he maybe recognized the oil that was all available. Maybe he came across one and he saw this container of oil that was there, and it was the lid was open, and before you know it, he looks inside and finds a dead fly in there. You say, well, what's the big deal? Just, you know, take that dead fly and put it out. You do that with your coffee. Come on now. You're not going to be able to take a second sip the same. And when you think about dead flies, especially the stigma, not just what we experience today and what we think about flies today, but when you think about flies, especially back in the Middle East, there are some that say that the flies that are available there and that are in existence there, that if you were to kill them, they're with a certain type of fly, they give an aroma, they give this certain odor that is there, and it's not a pleasant odor. So if it dies inside the home, or if it dies inside your food, or if it dies in wherever it might be, I mean, there is a special aroma. You take your fly swatter, and I got one. You're like, oh no, what's that smell? Well, it could be that type of fly. I mean, the certain flies that would be there, the stigma of flies goes all the way back. When you think about the plagues during the time of Egypt and delivering God's people, you think about the accusation that they gave to our Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, he does this by the power of Beelzebub. You know what that is? The Lord of Flies. I mean, there's a negative connotation, and there should be. Flies are gross. Do I have a witness there? Flies are nasty. I mean, I cannot stand, even if there's one fly flying in my truck and got stuck inside there, I'm going to do everything I can to get that sucker out of there, right? Nobody likes flies. And so here he is saying, dead flies caused the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Something that is not desirable, something that at one time very valuable, something that is very desirable, something that brings significance to maybe one's life or whatever the case might be. There is this valuable ointment that is there, yet one fly will cause this ointment to be worthless. And now he's giving the comparison. It's just like taking a look at this illustration here regarding your testimony or your reputation. And so when we deal with the significance of the value that we see, I mean, I could take you to an example of my dad. My dad is deaf. So, you know, and I grew up in a deaf household. And so my dad, we took my dad out. He had a birthday, and we took him out to a very, very nice restaurant. How many of you have been to Claim Jumper? Okay. Might be the last time. Anyways, okay. Claim Jumper. Claim Jumper is a very nice restaurant. I mean, they go through the work of making sure that the ambiance is all nice, and it's great and wonderful, and it is. And by the way, it is. And so we sit down and you know, we're ordering our food, and I remember my dad getting a calzone, and as he purchased the calzone, there it was. He took his knife and went into it and opened it up, and lo and behold, you guessed it, there was a hair there. Boy, you guys are going to be so excited for lunch, you know, right after this. All right. And there was and he didn't say, hey, son, will you get the waiter? I said, Dad, you know, it's your birthday here. I'll take care of it, and I'll try to get the waiter. He goes, no, I'll take care of it. Now, remember, he's deaf. You know, you can say a lot. You don't have to learn sign language to be able to communicate with somebody who is hearing impaired to get the idea that something's not right. So I remember my dad just waving over to the waiter, and he brought him over, and the waiter came over, and the waiter's like, you know, how can I? He goes, I can't hear, but he goes, And he opened up the calzone, he goes, and he takes his fork and goes like this. Oh, we'll take care of it, we'll take care of it. Ushers that thing out, brings him a new calzone, didn't charge him a dime. You know what my dad said? He goes, not very hungry. Well, think about it. You take a look at something by way of something that is so valuable, something that is prepared, and something that goes through this crazy effort, this value that is there, and yet one fly is going to put something in your mind and say, I'm not very excited about it. I'm not super excited about it. And then, as he ties in this illustration, probably what he saw just walking through the streets and maybe passing this, maybe something that was in his home, I don't know. He came to this conclusion, recognized that's just like somebody, just a little folly to him that desires to have this reputation. It can be tainted if it's not, follow with me, if it's not protected. Somebody, somewhere down the line, if a lid is supposed to be on that oil and supposed to protect the oil that is there because flies could be attracted to it, that lid needs to be on there. If you use it, put that lid back on there. Somebody, he's probably now putting the pieces together and saying, something wasn't protected. Somebody oversaw some things. Somebody didn't give a lot of attention to something that is very, very valuable. We're not talking about oils this morning. We're talking about your life and we're talking about my life. And here he is saying, regarding your life and reputation for wisdom and honor, it is so right that you take the right steps to make sure that you protect your reputation. It doesn't matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old. You need to make sure that your reputation is protected, especially if you say, I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am, here's this label, Christian over my life, disciple over my life. You need to make sure, and I need to make sure, that we protect our life well. And so what Solomon does now, by way of his previous experience and all the things that he's writing about in this letter here, I hope that we understand that he's trying to show us now. I've experienced some things where in my personal life, this life that I've been able to live, the lid has been off and flies have been there. And people have seen it. And people thought, oh, yes, like the Queen of Sheba. Man, there's somebody in his wisdom and God's all over his life. To where somewhere down the line, people said, something's different about this man. And it's not a good different. Looks like there's some flies in this man's ointment. And so what he does is he goes through and tells us how we can take care of our reputation. Notice this in verse number 2. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, and a fool's heart is at his left. Oh, man, this is so good. Okay, let me give some explanation here regarding of the illustration that he gives here of how we can have a protected life. Okay, so he says there's two different groups here. You have the wise man and the fool. Not hard to understand. And he identifies the wise man with the man who identifies with the right hand. The right hand, okay? And then he says, here's the fool that identifies with the left hand, right? Now, if you say that I'm left-handed, don't mess up the illustration. Don't do that. But dealing with the majority of people that are, let's just out of curiosity, how many of you are right-handed? I would say, okay, put your hands up. How many of you are left-handed? Okay, that said, okay, so those that are left-handed, all three of you, there's no knocking on you, okay? But we're talking about the majority of people, 90% of people are right-handed. And so when you even take a look at the New Testament, you take a look at different passages that deal with the implications of the right hand, you think about Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, right? You think about when John and James and John were coming up to his mom and saying, hey, go, you know, here, who's going to sit on your right hand, who's going to sit on your left? Mom, would you go, you maybe ask, you know, the master here, who's going to sit on your right hand, who's going to sit on your left hand? And that the place of a right hand is a place of honor, respect. Right. You may think about what Jesus even said. He says he's going to take the sheep to the right, and the goats to the left. Think about those that are saved and those that are lost. He's going to, right hand is a place of honor and respect. And so here he is telling us a wise man's heart. So now he's speaking about the heart, not talking about the organ that pumps. We're talking about like the master control system. I mean, he talks about the, you know, out of the heart, you know, you protect your heart because out of it comes the issues of life, and making sure that your heart is protected, and that you, everything that you do regarding your heart, it's the master control system. You know, you fly, and I love being able to get off a plane, and you're able to just take a look, just a glimpse if the door is open, and you see the control panel that is there. It's just amazing to see such a big instrument, such a big a vessel that's able to get up in the air, and here's all these dials. You put me in there, I have no idea what's going on. I'm sure they don't allow a whole bunch of kids get in there and say, yeah, touch wherever you guys want. It's fine. No. Those individuals that take care of something so significant are making sure that every dial is right where it's supposed to be. You don't put me in the soundboard back there. Every dial and every volume, everything has its place. It's the master control system, and we need to make sure that our heart, the master control system of what we do and how we carry on with life, the perspective of life, the details of life, it is protected. And so he is telling us the wise man's heart, notice this, is at his right hand, right? That's what it says, is on his right hand. But a fool's heart is at his left. Now follow with me here. In verse number 3, yea, also, when he that is a fool, okay, where is he? He's making, we say, left-hand choices, right? Right. Not right choices. Left-hand choices, this fool, that's how he's identified, walketh by the way, notice this, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Now, follow with me. Here's a fool. There are those that would say if a man was supposed to identify as a fool, that's where he really is spiritually, because he's made, can we say, left-handed choices, and I'll discuss that here in just a minute. Left-handed choices, and here's this man. He can say that he's making right-handed choices. He can say, I walk this way, when in reality, his heart is making left-handed choices, and he's identified as a fool. Though he is saying, I have wisdom, and though I have a reputation, if he's making left-handed choices, and if he's making these decisions, it only reflects the character of his life and his heart and the decision-making. It doesn't matter what he is saying. Look at his life. It says everything. I'll give you an example. You know, I could have had a teenager come up here and help me with this, but if I had a football, right? Since majority of football players, quarterbacks are right-handed, and if I was to take a teenager and said, okay, throw me a good spiral, he's gonna take that football, right, and he's gonna throw it with his right hand. And you know, if the kid plays ball, he can probably throw a good spiral. And I'm like, hey, it looks great. I mean, he pulls back, he can do the 3-step drop, and he could go back and throw the ball, and it would look normal. Now, if I tell that same teenager, said, hey, throw me a spiral just like you did with your left hand, more than likely, he's going to look like a girl throwing it. Don't make me illustrate it. I mean, I can pull back and you say, oh man, you look good. I'm going to do it anyway, since, you know, you pull back and you're, man, it just looks normal, looks right, okay? But then if I said, okay, I'm going to pull back with a 3-step drop and I'm going to throw it with my left, I'm going to be, you know, it's going to look squirrely, it's going to look weird, it's going to look odd, right? The whole point is there are people that are saying, hey, I'm saved, and I follow Jesus, and I honor the Lord, and I surrender my life, and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then why do you look so? And here he is reminding us, he's challenging us as believers, and making sure that if we are going to identify with God and we're going to have the right reputation that God wants us to have, because it's not necessarily just for us. Yes, we do play a part, but it's to reflect our Savior Jesus Christ. We need to make right-handed choices that reflect what's going on inside our heart. And you know what you find? You'll find that here's this ointment that's protected. Here's this ointment that's valuable. Here's this reputation that has significance and an impact upon our society. Mercy. I think sometimes in our life, you know, we have a lot of good intentions and we have a lot of desires, ambitions, whatever the case might be. And if we're not careful, with neglect, it could be possibly neglect, it could be that we just don't, whether it's a passivity that is there, or we just don't care, that our life of what should be protected, of guarding our heart and protecting our heart and the things that we value and show significance to, especially in the day and age in which we live, if we are not protecting that, there are flies that fly around us all the time. You walk out these doors after church, you give yourself 30 minutes, and it's not long, flies are starting to fly around. It's not long by the time you get home, flies are starting to fly around. You get to work, flies are starting to fly around. The culture in which we live, you're just trying to go to Fry's and get some milk, and before you know it, you're exposed to things. And you're tempted with things and the things that are there and all the things that are bringing a bombardment to your life. And there are flies that are following you all over the place. And it is so important for us as believers to make sure that that ointment that is there, something that is so valuable, our reputation, the life that God has given us, is protected. Your family's at stake. Right. Your church is at stake. Right. Think about this. I mean, if I got up and I said one cuss word right now, just one. I think your preacher would kick me out. One, rightly so. Two, think about this. Two, if I was to say, my credibility of whatever I would preach in the next message or tonight or tomorrow night would be void. Just a little folly. He didn't say, you got to have a whole bunch of flies flying around. All it takes is one. And before you know it, it can taint everything that you work so hard for. Can you imagine that person there? This might be a cheesy illustration here, but I'm going to go with it. Can you imagine that person there at Claim Jumper? Oh, there's a lot of work that goes into a calzone, making a calzone. Yeah, there's a lot of work that you have to do. And we prize ourselves in this. And I'm just picturing, here they are, they're making this calzone. And here's some rookie that's not wearing a hairnet. And that piece of hair falls in there. You know what? I haven't been back to Claim Jumper since. And it's been years. If I came up to my dad and I said, hey, Dad, I'm going to treat you well today. Want to go Claim Jumper? He'd be like, he'd take McDonald's over Claim Jumper. You know why? Just one little folly. Now, I'll tell you this. God is also gracious, because you might be thinking, well, listen, you don't understand. In my life, I've had some flies go in the ointment here, and it hasn't been right. And listen, let me just make sure. Yeah, we're all there. We're all there. That's all of us. All of us, we are not perfect. We've had our good days and we've had our bad days, and there are things that we haven't protected, and as a result, flies have ended up, and maybe you might be here and you say, man, I'm in a good spot, God's blessing, and I feel like, you know, the presence of God is upon my life, and I feel like, you know, just the blessings are there, and revival's taking place in my own heart. That's great. Praise the Lord. There might be some that you might be saying, I've allowed some flies even this week to come in my life, and I don't like it, and it's disappointing. Can I just remind you, it's not as if God says, oh, flies are there, forget you. See you later. Your reputation is done. Your reputation's through. God is gracious. God's not only just able to, you know, take that fly out, he's able to give you a whole new life. I mean, all the things that, I mean, new oil, everything. He's able to change your life. Only if you're able to recognize it. See, people sometimes, they know that they might be exposed to a life that's not really truly acceptable to the Lord, and their master control system, their heart, isn't where it's supposed to be, and flies are there, and they just say, well, what's the use? It's not that big of a deal, or I just don't care anymore. It is what it is. This is what's happened, and I can't go back and change it. I mean, that might be the case. But Just because of how you might see things is not how God sees things. And because of what has transpired, and I'm looking forward to, we're going to be talking about later, talking about John Mark. You know, you think about John Mark, and there's a stigma that says, man, he tucked tail and ran, you know, went back to mama. Well, that didn't define him. That didn't define him. But I would really challenge and remind you that if there are flies, you do this. Not try to take them out yourself. Just ask God to give you a whole new heart. Just ask God to give you a whole new heart. And when you do, and when you are, you get to a place and you say, God, here's a clean slate, and He does give us a clean slate. I go to 1 John 1:9, and I wear that page out. And I go to 1 John 1:9 saying, God, I haven't been right. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. God, would you clean my heart? Would you forgive me? And He comes in and He forgives me. And yet there are still scars, but I'm not supposed to pick at those scabs. He's forgiven me. And I'm thankful to the Lord that He's able to put me on a right track, and He's able to get me right where I'm supposed to be. And I just want to be sensitive in my life till the day that I die, till the day that I die with God's help and by God's grace, that I can have a reputation of wisdom and honor that someone says, there's right hand choices that were made right there. All of us are pursuing that. You're here for Sunday school. No doubt you have a desire to make right-handed choices and having a heart that reflects ointment that is saying, man, that's valuable. Boy, look at that life. Look at that testament. Look at that family's life. Look at the context. Look at the church. Boy, what a blessing it is to be able to see something that is so precious and valuable. But it takes effort and it takes discipline to make sure that we protect our heart. May God help us to do that. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed.